All right, as I start out, I would like to acknowledge my co-author on this presentation, Dr. Jason Bond, who's also from the Alcohol Research Group. And I also have no financial relationships to disclose. How many people here are familiar with income inequality and its measurement? I'm trying to gauge how fast I need to go or how slow I need to go. Okay. Income inequality generally can be described as the size of the difference in income or resources between rich and poor. So it's a relative measure to some extent. And this income inequality is a strong risk factor for a variety of negative health outcomes, morbidity, mortality, poor perceived health, things like that. Income inequality, there are many pathways through which it might affect health. The unequal distribution in resources in different types of communities might lead to chronic stressors that can be related to negative health risk behaviors and negative health outcomes. When we're measuring inequality, commonly measures are implemented at large areas that have a lot of variability in income and socioeconomic status. And income inequality can be measured overall or by comparing the status of two different groups. So this is the income distribution for the United States from the 2000 census. The top is over $200,000 a year, and the bottom is less than $10,000 a year. So an overall measure of income inequality incorporates both the range and the distribution of incomes in assessing the extent of inequality. Two of the most common measures are the Robin Hood Index, which is perhaps the most intuitive, the proportion of income that would have to be redistributed from rich to poor households to achieve equality. But the most commonly used measure is the Gini coefficient, which is a much more complex calculation that captures the difference between an observed income distribution, such as the one that I just showed you, and a condition of complete equality. So here, an overall measure of income inequality would assess how much income would have to be redistributed so everyone in the United States had an income of $50,000 a year, which is our US median. Now, race-based measures of inequality are comparative measures that summarize differentials in income between different racial or ethnic groups living in the same area. And these are often used in studies of ethnicity and violence. Now, this is the US income distribution divided up by racial ethnic group. And as Dr. William Carter Jenkins asked us yesterday, do we have a race problem in the US, or maybe is it a racism problem? As you can see, the incomes of African Americans and Hispanics are much more concentrated in the feet of this distribution, whereas the whites are top heavy. So in this study, I'm focusing on measures of income inequality related to substance use patterns. There may be structural effects that relate income inequality to negative health risk behaviors, but also there's a stress hypothesis, as I mentioned before, perhaps due to social comparison. Now, there is research on alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use that supports the stress hypothesis, but other findings suggest a counter hypothesis, an affluence hypothesis, whereby effects of income inequality might solely be due to a concentration of wealthy individuals. In this study, my primary research questions are whether income inequality is associated with different alcohol use patterns and associated problems, and whether the measure is important. Now, effects of income inequality also may be different for different groups. And so I also was interested in the question of for whom is income inequality more important? It might be more important for people who are otherwise disadvantaged, such as those living in poor neighborhoods or who have a low household income or who are perhaps are racial ethnic minorities and experiencing forms of discrimination and other things like that. So in this study, I used survey data from the 2000 and 2005 National Alcohol Surveys that I linked with census data from the 2000 census at the state and tract level. The study samples a little over 11,000 people, 64% of which were current drinkers. A little bit more than half had incomes below $40,000 a year, and a little bit more than half had at least some college education. I don't know what that says about college education. But, so I have two measures of drinking pattern, light to moderate drinking and heavy drinking, which are measured in terms of volume. and then two measures of problems, alcohol-related consequences in the domains of the interpersonal, work, legal, and health problems, and alcohol dependence guided by the DSM-IV. So you can see here that approximately a little over 20% of the sample reported heavy drinking and less than 5% experienced consequences or dependence. And when we limit our look at drinkers only, you can see that well over a third of drinkers were reporting heavy drinking. So the measures of inequality that I'm going to be talking about, I use the Gini coefficient for an overall measure of inequality, as well as two relative measures looking at poverty ratios between African Americans and whites, or the black-white poverty ratio, and between Hispanic and whites, the Hispanic-white poverty ratio. The analyses are multi-level models adjusting for individual level socioeconomic status, as well as state level urbanicity and median income. And I wanted to orient you to these tables because I have a lot of things I'm going to throw up at you. So the two outcomes are across the top here. We've got light and heavy drinking. The state and individual level predictors are running along the side, but the measures of inequality, I'm going to present three models for each outcome. So the Gini coefficient and then the two poverty ratios. Okay, we can see here that the Gini coefficient was not significantly related to either light or heavy drinking. But lest we lull ourselves into complacency and think that income inequality doesn't matter, let's continue and look at these relative measures. The black-white poverty ratio was significantly associated with heavy drinking, and there was not an interaction with any of the hypothesized concurrent risk factors such as race, ethnicity, or neighborhood poverty, or individual level poverty. There was a significant interaction between the Hispanic-white poverty and being Hispanic for both of the outcomes. And since that's a little difficult to interpret, I've graphed these interactions here. And you can see here that inequality measured by the Hispanic-white poverty ratio was not significantly associated with drinking by Hispanics, but it was associated with greater light and heavy use for whites. That might perhaps be somewhat related to an affluence hypothesis. Now looking at consequences and dependence, we see that the Gini coefficient was also not predictive of either of these problem outcomes. But there was a significant interaction between the black-white poverty ratio and being African-American for consequences and dependence. And there was also a significant interaction of the Hispanic-white poverty ratio with Hispanic ethnicity for consequences. Okay, so the interactions for consequences are graphed here, and you can see that as inequality increases, everybody's experiencing more negative consequences, but the highest levels of inequality are related to significantly elevated rates of consequences for both African Americans and Hispanics. So there was mixed support for our hypotheses here. There was some evidence supporting the affluence hypothesis for whites, but there was also some evidence supporting a stress hypothesis or another alternative explanation for blacks and Hispanics in high inequality areas. It was also interesting that the effects of inequality were independent from any effects of neighborhood or household poverty. So as with many telephone surveys conducted around the same time, our response rates were somewhat low, but they're typical of survey research of this time. And also, excuse me, our sample is incompletely geocoded, which could affect the generalizability of the findings somewhat. The restricted ranges of the inequality variables, I think, are important to keep in mind, particularly the Gini coefficient. It had a much smaller range than the relative measures of inequality. There's also perhaps an interplay of segregation and inequality that I wasn't looking at here. Looking at just the way resources are patterned in this country, segregation is probably an important variable to bring into these models. The strengths of the National Alcohol Survey are that it has great samples of nationwide samples, including population oversamples from blacks and Hispanics, as well as low population states. And the measurement of alcohol outcomes is, of course, a focus of the study. I would suggest that future research in this area really consider using race-based inequality measures, but also consider a range of different outcomes. And the question, of course, that comes up is what's going on and why are these measures associated with the drinking outcomes? And it would be nice to look at covariation of inequality with indicators of drinking culture. And also a question that lingers as well is what kinds of consequences are most commonly experienced by people living in these highly unequal areas? As we're in an economic downturn, although I think they said there's not another recession going on, we should keep in mind that gaps in income between the rich and poor are getting wider and wider. Also, we have a focus in some circles on considering the impacts on health of every policy, and it would be nice to continue to be able to support alcohol prevention and treatment programs to mitigate any negative consequences that people might experience as conditions of inequality worsen over time, and as public health services are cut back and back in response to budget crises. I'd like to acknowledge a postdoctoral fellowship from NIAAA. I was a postdoc when I completed this research, and if anybody's interested in postdocs, please come see me. We have information about our program, as well as funding from the National Alcohol Surveys, for the National Alcohol Surveys from NIAAA, and my colleagues at ARG have been great companions on this journey. And if you're interested in this topic, it's kind of small, but I'd be happy to give you a list of references that could be informative. Thank you. Okay, I guess we do have time for questions if anybody has any. Yeah, hi. So you're asking if in low inequality different areas, are the, for example, blacks and Hispanics the same people as in high inequality areas? If we think about the mechanisms by which income inequality may be working, I would imagine that high inequality areas significantly curtail opportunity for people of color. And so I would guess that they may have lower levels of education, be perhaps in more, less professional occupations, things like that, that are sort of dictated by the majority power structure. I haven't looked at that, but that's actually an interesting question. Thinking about what structural effects there might be versus personal effects. I did want to remind everyone, I didn't, which I did say, but that the models did adjust for individual level socio-demographic characteristics. So these are effects above and beyond somebody's educational attainment, employment status, household income, marital status, age, gender, things like that. Thanks. Yes. Yeah, so the question was the relative effect size between income inequality and income. And so I'd just like to come back to this slide, for example, which is the results for consequences and dependence. And the inequality coefficients are across the top, and there's state-level median income on the third row, and you can see that that is not associated with any of these, with either of these drinking outcomes in any of the models. And then household poverty status also is not significantly related with consequences or dependence in these models. Neighborhood poverty had a positive association with consequences in just one of the models. So the effect size is just eyeballing, which is probably not the best way to talk about effect size, is the coefficients seem fairly similar, although state level inequality is positively associated with consequences, but median income is negatively associated. And that may also be due to differences in distributions of drinkers across the states. I'm not sure if that sufficiently answered your question or not, but you can sort of see here the coefficients to get a little bit of a feel for what the different effect sizes might be. I agree that it is difficult to change income, and it's probably even harder to change income inequality, which was the first comment. And it is possible that the model is over-adjusted, I suppose. I'm trying to remember if the findings were substantially different before we adjusted for neighborhood poverty, for example, and I don't think that they were, but that's a good consideration to think about in more detail. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.